All right. What I am about to explain you is the relationship between an industry producing so-called intelligent support systems and how this industry is changing the way telecommunication interception works and also how governments work. I'll start with one, that's the only one in German, so don't be shocked, slide from a brochure from Siemens to explain you why lawful interception, so those technology built into telecommunication system allowing governments access to telecommunication and communications intelligence, that's the term used in the intelligence community for grabbing data from data streams, are getting the same. So the technology called lawful interception means that based on a lawful requirement, or let's say on a set of lawful requirements, the technology is providing in the one or the other way the telecommunication stream. The planet, as you know, has an amount of jurisdictions where some countries have a democracy with a court, with a high court, with a constitution, even with civil rights, while other countries have exactly one person who is the law. And the technology allowing these kind of things are, of course, produced for the world market, so it means they fulfill whatever requirements are defined in the law. If the law defines its wishes in the sense of, well, I don't trust anyone out there, I want to intercept them all, the exact same technology is allowing this task. So that's why Siemens is calling it, you can flexible configure our stuff and it's scalable, which means the difference from a technology point of view between a democracy and a totalitarian state is just the parameter settings in a configuration file. There has been quite a paradigm shift from the old way or old style lawful interception has been done, and it is now being done compatible to the American CALEA guidelines. In the old paradigm, an interception was done on demand. So there was a legal and technical procedure based on the interception of a specific person or group of people, and the telecommunication company running their network, they got this demand, they checked the legal requirements, and then they made the wiretap, and the one or the other way. The intermediate paradigm, where we are right now, is done compatible to this CALEA guidelines, which means the telecommunication operator is no more allowed to know if an interception is done. He has to provide interfaces for the so-called LEAs, the law enforcement agencies, and they have the responsibility to ensure that the legal requirements are fulfilled. So once more, to point this out very clearly, an operator is not allowed to know if something is being done or not. The next paradigm we are just jettling into is a total recording of everything, selection, filtering, and analyzing afterwards. This is already a practice in the world of the intelligence community, so on the world of comment. It is being installed in many countries, but it is right now not used for lawful enforcement. So it means it is not used as evidence in court, although the data exists. To give you a brief overview of the components I'm going to speak about, there's roughly four different type of components. There's the access level, so the interfaces and functions they provide. There's the delivering situation, let's say, the interfaces to the law enforcement agencies. There's the collection entities. And then there's the world of analyzing data, filtering and analyzers, which will be most of my talk today. to get an understanding of the process how this works, it's like almost in any other industry. There's companies investing in development and producing of systems, of technology, to secretly intercept, transfer, store, analyze data. And these products are being marketed to the customers available. That is governments and their security intelligence agencies, as well as other interested parties. So it is true, this technology is available, whoever is fulfilling the requirements of being able to pay for it. It's a money issue. And this is actively set as that. So whatever that is, where of course we could politically say, well, the difference between a government and a criminal entity is anyhow just that the one have a jurisdiction and the others don't. But I mean, that's a debate I leave up for other moments. The industry is developing these products, of course, not the way that they look, oh, what is the law and what would be allowed to do? They look at the opportunities that technology provides and the legal requirements, the legal jurisdictional set of rules are just feature sets. If you want to hear it like that, it's configuration files, or let's say it's components put together in a specific way. But in the sense of developing this technology, this is not a limitation. This is just for the marketing, yes, you know, we will adjust it to your legal requirements. So what happens here is not that the technology is being produced for the lawful requirements, it is that the customers adjust the requirements to the possibilities of the technology, which is a very important point to understand what happens here, why we have data retention coming. So with marketing terms like this, why sample when you can monitor all? You know, this is clearly saying we can do a lot more with technology. And of course, this is getting the interest of the customers, of the intelligence community, of the lawful law enforcement agencies, of the Ministry of Interior guys, and say, hey, wow, we could do a lot more if we would just be allowed to. So these companies push governments to change legislation. However, the reality is that a total interception, long-term recording, is a reality. And as I said, that this type of products being marketed change the government's behave, apply rules, and also see us as subjects and no more as citizens. this is from one of the companies providing long-term storage system. As you're all aware of, hard disks are getting cheaper and while having higher capacity every day. So it is no more $1 million business to intercept the telecommunication of a country completely over a few years and just put that online available in a 19-inch rack collection. So capture all, intermediate storage, filter, long-term storage. Of course, you can, for example, when intercepting voice telephone calls, you can use different types of codecs than being used in the transmission for long-term storage to save some bits. And there's other things you can throw away for not needed. The whole scenario, of course, is absolutely not limited to telecommunication. So this is from a presentation of Siemens Intelligence Platform, and they invite or encourage their customers to use a lot more whatever you could be in the database, which is interesting watching that traffic control points, so the German Maut system and others, which are also produced by Siemens, are fitting into this picture. So this is their ideas of whatever you could take, including internet stuff, police records, bank account, insurance, border control databases, passport, DNA, and so on. there is, in this technology, different ways of analyzing traffic, so connecting the different forms of interactions you can identify between your subjects, as they call them. So this is here the most simple form, obviously. This is just people being connected by sharing emails. but also then being connected to objects such as houses, cars, computers with fixed IP addresses, sharing, in this case, an answering machine, and stuff like that. So this is the most simple form, and this is a more or less well-known software being used by law enforcement and other agencies to visualize these type of connections. There is, however, a more sophisticated way of connecting people, which is indirect link through behavioral patterns. Meaning that what these guys are doing, for example, is putting old police records from known and already in jailed criminals for human trafficking, for drug stuff, for whatever type of crimes, and using this type of old records to create databases of patterns. So in what way these guys have been communicating with each other, how hierarchical communication can be seen in the traffics, and then they look for these patterns in the complete set of records. So it's no more a specific person they're looking at, it's a way of behaving they're looking at. Again, this of course is being done and is being developed in different levels of sophistication, I would say. So this is a more easy example where two suspects are known to talk to each other. They are, however, suspected to be exchanging money, but the accounts are not in their name. So they use a proxy they are connected with who then exchanged the money. It's a typical pattern in money laundering situations. So you can guess this can be done more complex as well. Of course, as I said, other data is getting merged into these situations. So especially of interest, or let's say, how you call it, a subject of research is the so-called nomadic targets, so people who constantly move, do not have a fixed mobile phone maybe, so using internet cafes where they then check their Yahoo or whatever email, leaving the IP number, which is being then connected to a specific place, mobile phone tracking, location of ATM machines, toll road systems, and so on. Of course, GSM cell data is being discussed from other vendors here as to be improvable to allow a better localization. So you have the simple cell-based, which is now already in the traffic records, so from which network cell you've been taking the call. You can extend this with using the triangular base, so having also the two other network cells measuring your stream. And of course, you can improve it with putting the GPS data your phone might provide to get a more accurate situation. So this is from one of these companies offering these improvements of network records to the governments that, you know, you could get up to 30 meters maximum tolerance. So this is their idea, that you don't no more have an area like this. If you're looking for someone, you can track him down, look for the nearest camera, and find him right away. Another area is speech recognition, where this has different components. So what is being available right now is the recognition of speakers through so-called voice prints, the recognition of genders, so male, female, which language, which keywords. Voice prints are being taken from the characteristics of your throat, so they just need one authenticated record of your language. This is, for example, also used by German embassies in Africa. If people apply for a visa, they need to leave a statement which is audio recorded. So with this technology, German embassies try to filter out people who regularly change their passports or their official names to get a visa, although they already might have been here and thrown out or something like that. So they use one certified audio recording, and then this technology is being declared, let's say, practically reusing. And it means, of course, that people who might think that changing a telephone, going to the nearest cell phone, changing offices or stuff like that would help them to hide them, doesn't make sense anymore. So you are just identified by your voice prints. Gender is, I guess, more easy, suitable for filtering again. And then we come up to language, so including accents, if you're Bavarian, German, or whatever. So the whole thing of this type of technology is a cost-cutting argument, saying, well, when you have a lot of intercepts in a situation and you're looking for a specific situation, of course, there are keyword recognition systems are not also working in all areas, where they again use databases previously used, where they know what kind of slangs are used for describing drugs or whatever. Setting up humans listening to these streams, writing reports, is very expensive. So this technology is used to pre-filter stuff, then say, here we got this guy in this conversation, and now we can concentrate on listening to this one call and no more to go through hundreds of intercepted streams from various places. So it's like an economic argument for using this type of technology. Here then an example given for a drug investigation. Italian American company, one branch in the US, one in Italy, drug trafficking, bad guys are Italian, where they could be located at both branches. 1,000 calls a day, roughly, 50% women, and then you start to filter the stuff with this type of technology. So when you got this 100 guys, 10 women, 90 men, blah, blah, blah. So you get down to a level of just listening to about 6% of all phone calls after using this technology to filter instead of about 9%, which makes a difference of 300, 400 calls, which you do not need to listen anymore because you have this type of technology. So, as to be clearly seen, it's an economic question. This is the keyword stopping domain where keywords are used from all kinds of previously or already existing cases of different areas where sample documents are produced, intelligence modules are trained, and then you can identify these streams or this type of patterns in all kinds of intercepted data. I'm jumping a little bit back here to speaker recognition. Including emotional involvement is something they are developing right now, and they're saying to be able to offer quite soon, that you can automatically recognize if someone is excited, if he's emotionally involved. So if there's a change in his behavior in relationship to a specific event that occurred. This is an, let's say, ongoing issue in this community being discussed. How do you recognize specifically people who react different to an event than others do? So, for example, you have a terrorist event, something happens, and you have like the usual people talking about how bad it was and so on, but you have some people who seem to be maybe behaving totally different to this. So, patterns of behavior, communication, movement, relationship, and so on. And this means that what they're doing is they're all putting us in databases like this, where they take different sets of our data, In this example, it's just three data to keep it simple. Our ATM withdrawments per week, our geographical location changes, and the amount of phone calls we do per day. So every target, and we're all targets in these systems, creates a specific point on the scale where we usually are. So where we move around, we have a specific amount of, you know, we move a little bit, we withdraw money more or less, and so on. And then when there is a situation where we behave absolutely outside of our normal profile, so we take a lot more money than we used to, we move to specific other places, we make a lot more or a lot less calls, then an alarms are generated, and then they start to look into what happened here. So you can guess there was an event, there is a reaction, what's the event, what's the reaction, what's going on. This was part one of the presentation. There will be a second part. So to what I originally wanted to do, but I didn't found really the time, is somehow address these companies, or let's say declare them out to our enemy in a more structured way. I guess I'll have to distribute this approach. So please feel free to have a look at these companies. You will find them under these keywords. There's a regular conference taking place in this name, happening in Eastern Europe and the Middle East, always once a year, and you'll find all these systems. My second part, I will come to an example where I think there's an interesting concept to adopt how to get rid of these companies. The example comes from a quite actual example. From Iran. So as you have seen, some of my examples was from the Siemens intelligence platform. Siemens has merged with Nokia, this department, and they now even sold it. So now it's renamed again. However, the Siemens intelligence platform was being brought to the bought by the Iranian government. There was, public records about this from the Wall Street Journal reported first, so that the monitoring capabilities from Nokia and Siemens were bought there. There was also, for this export was done from Germany, articles questioning the legal export of this type of installation. Indeed, Iran is subject to several embargoes, but Siemens said that there was no legal requirements for them to apply for a license or to not deliver this to Iran. There was indeed questions if the Bundesnachrichtendienst, the German Foreign Intelligence Service, has not even supported this type of export to have their built-in capabilities in this technology. So it is well known that many of these systems are being provided by so-called private companies, which are in reality governmental-owned and just keep backdooring their customers. Regularly suspected here is, of course, the United States and Israel. however, then the German government denied. They said, no, we have not been involved in this export. We don't do such things, and we're nice people. So the usual lame excuse department. However, we had here the maybe rare situation that, of course, Nokia is not only standing for intelligent support systems and lawful interception, but also to mobile phones. So in Iran, there was an excitement about this, and there was a boycott campaign being... Hey, it's day four. It's day four. there was a boycott campaign being started to address this type of company. It started quite harmless, but it went on with really. The last two slides, I'm not even sure to show them to you, but I guess I have the time. It's really getting from the... I wait for your reactions, okay? So... Yeah, I mean, some of these pictures have the capability to be transferred to our countries as well, as we all know, where they use a lot more motor bicycles here, maybe. And this picture you might know, this was a student home being raided by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, or whatever their name is, which took a lot of blogging students offline. So they really played, I like this one, so marketing compatible. So you can choose to unsee the last two ones. You know, we have all the internet, the problem that you can't make stuff unseen. But from a, let's say, public relations point of view, of course there's pictures who get to the human brain which leave an impact. Not so nice, but that's how it might end up. So what I would like to discuss with you, I mean, all of us know how the internet works and so on, and you'll be able to identify the companies coming from various places, from the US, from Germany, from Great Britain, from the Ukraine, from Italy, from South Africa, to mention the most important. Oh, the Israelis, of course. So how do we handle them? It's not as easy to declare them a threat to the human race. This is more or less the same area as producing weapons. Those of you who have seen Lord of War know how this industry works. It is not of our duty to know what our customers do with our products. To quote the most important point. However, I think that if we see our governments as customers of an industry and an industry driving this thing, we are getting a brighter picture and we are understanding the mechanics of Big Brother a little bit better than just seeing ministers of interior going mad and applying all kinds of laws to us and want all kinds of data. I'm open for your input now and for your questions. Thanks. Who throws the first stone? I'm trying to put up a collection online, also which installations are installed in which country, to give you a better understanding of what's going on. So this is, of course, would be a nice thing to know. We had the discussion in the last days. What could we do with these companies? Of course, we need to find out who works there. We need to find out who their customers are, which might be difficult, but it might be easy to... at least find out in which companies, in which countries these companies are operating. Another point would be to think in depth about what the critical points of these companies are, So how would we get them bankrupt? The Siemens-Nokia example is an example of success. It had an impact. Nokia sold that department. But as I said, it's not as easy as that because some of these companies are simply specialized in the area of intelligence support and not providing other products that you could boycott.
Yeah, I have a question. There has been this trend where like animal rights activists and the climate change activists and so on have been more and more targeted as terrorists. Mm-hmm. And do you have any good ways for identifying that you are being a target of this intelligence support system gathering and so on, and more direct approaches how to get out of how to disrupt the intelligence collection about yourself?
Well, the best thing you could do is change their configuration files, right? Just take the typical pattern of your most beloved politician and replace it with the existing one about the hackers. Feel free, but be careful. These guys might know what they're doing.
I have a question. How do we exactly know that all the calls are being recorded in one telecom? How do we find out if they're being recorded? How can we make sure that this is happening? How would you know that this is happening?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Of course, I had I've discussed this with many people in the industry, and they all said, no, hey, it doesn't exist. That's bullshit. Well, there's two points of aspects that brought me to the that I'm convinced on this. One is there's, at least for the German situation, there has been a talk for the unification of Germany. It's called the 2+4 talks, where the former allies have been discussing with the German government the conditions for giving it the license to unify Germany. In that talks, there was made a deal that the grab on telecommunication should also start remain existent for the allies. We have a law called the Kriminalitätsbekämpfung, or Verbrechensbekämpfungsgesetz. So what a stupid name for a law. It's a law to fight crime, which allows the Bundesnachrichtendienst, the Ministry of, the Foreign Intelligence Service, to grab all telecommunication from Germany and outside of Germany, and for a specific condition, and that is if the security of this own service is being addressed also for the communication within Germany. However, the Bundesnachrichtendienst has the legal competence, but not the technology to analyze this type of data, this amount of data. So they outsourced this to an American company who has an office right near to them in Bad Aibling, which is the U.S. Echelon station. That is something that obviously you could say, okay, that sounds already like this. And then the second bit I got was from a journalist many years ago who said he got an offer if he ever wanted to get the contents of a phone call of the last 8 years, and he would be okay to pay €20,000 for it. He could bribe an American intelligence officer who would get the call for him out of the database. Well, I got other things that made me convinced of this, but it's pretty obvious that from a technology point of view, it's possible, it's not that expensive, and watching the mindset of these people, it would be surprisingly if they don't do it in many countries.
So it's been advertised by the companies that make this, that it's actually possible to record the calls for somebody.
Yeah.
All the calls.
Yeah.
Because, for example, for Iran, you might be able to, because they're not probably not that big of a user of mobile telephony. But for example, for Germany, if you try to record all the calls just for one carrier, you might go in the amount of tens or hundreds of millions a month, which is not that easy of a task.
Right. So just bring me the customer list of this customer, and I got the answer to your question.
What do you think would cost? How much would the country have to invest?
We calculated it on the statistics of German telecommunication a few years ago. I don't have the numbers from the amount of calls exactly in my mind now. We said if they use a simple speech codec, we calculated it was like 10 million euro for 1 year for a hard disk recording. That will be a lot of cheaper now, but we only looked at phone calls in this calculation. If you, of course, put the internet traffic to it, it might be more and so on. But if you look at military budgets, and we're talking here about military budgets, so intelligence services are the communication departments of the military from a hierarchical point of view in many situations. If you compare that to the cost of an airplane being used by them or a few tanks, that's just spare parts of airplanes. You hide it there somewhere.
I think there was a talk at Black Hat or another conference that was concerned with analyzing the feasibility in a technical and a financial point of view. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone knows exactly what talk this was, remembers.
Mm-hmm. What would we have to tell our politicians to prevent those Americans to grab our data?
Oh, it's not only the Americans.
Yes.
Well, the point is this, that this is a question of power game, okay? What the East German Secret Service, they had a wonderful word, which, by the way, found its way into the intelligence community. It's called Kompromat. A Kompromat is a piece of data you find to make him what you want him make to do. So, because it says something about maybe his private life or about misbehavior in financial or whatever terms, which he does not want to be disclosed, so you can bring him by offering to publish it. You can go and change his behavior and make him a tool of your game. This Kompromat is, of course, now they have Kompromat-Datenbanken, so they have databases of whatever you bring politicians to do. So, first of all, politicians would have to need to understand that this is something used to control them. I had 10 minutes of my life where I was in the car with a guy who attended the 2+4 talks, and who was part of the team to convince Kanzler Kohl to not sign the document saying that telecommunications should be kept by the allies, all those regulations. And he said, Mr. Kohl, he didn't understand it. He understood it the moment they brought two paper cars into his offices with about 20 kilos of paper. He said, hey, what is this? He said, well, this is your telecommunication intercepts from the East German Secret Service the last 10 years. That's the moment he understood what telecommunication intercept was, but not one moment earlier. So, I mean, the point is that our politicians first need to understand that they are the target if they don't address this type of technology.
And then what would be the specific thing we want them to do? So if we say everything, they probably won't listen. So if we want to go one step in the right direction, what would be the next step?
Yeah, the point is this, that if you go to your local government in whatever country, let's say in the German government, they will listen to you, and then they will say, yeah, wait a moment, but if we don't keep that records, the other countries will have still the records, because they are intercepting in our country as well. So we will have a disadvantage in the international power game. We can't bribe the minister of this and that country anymore. We can't, use our pieces of evidence about the private lives of this and that person and that case. Well, I guess it's not that easy because this is something like a plain power game, which we're addressing here. But indeed, encryption might be an answer. Hiding traffic might be an answer. Well, if you ask me, then I would say forbid this type of technology. Create a situation where they don't find a market anymore. But that will be not an easy task. So I guess with this type of thing, we will have to think about what to do for the next years. And it's worth thinking about it. Otherwise, they will find a solution the other way.
I have a small addition about the politician's question. These tools that record calls and that are used by the government in some way are all... I come from a country where they're used regularly from the government and when they go in opposition, because they always change every few years. When they go into opposition, they pull out some old records and start blackmailing and publishing bad stuff about the new guys. And that happens every 4 years, almost regularly. And this is actually a tool that's been used and used and used and used mostly for this. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had about... So they had a 25 million euro budget for this for 1 year, and they had about 3 or 4 intercepts they used in court cases, mm-hmm. and about a few thousands more that then used for something else. Mm-hmm. And this is a fact of life. It happens. It's used mostly by this. It's probably not exactly like this here in Germany, but let's say I'm not exactly optimistic. And,
well, yeah, there's of course, countries where the politicians are being exchanged, which doesn't mean that the guys keeping these records are being exchanged. It's all a matter of who handles whom. Okay, there's one more.
I got here late, so I'm sorry if this has already been asked, but... do you know if anybody has tried to use the Freedom of Information Acts to try and get their own records that have been collected on them?
In Germany, it was indeed tried by a politician to get the data retention records of him. It was denied. Feel free to go that way. You'll find, at least, I know that through Freedom of Information, a lot of part of this technology and paper has been freed, but I'm not aware of, indeed, personal records that have become available through this method.
Okay. How difficult would it be to introduce false positives into these systems?
How difficult will it be to identify that they are false positives? Is the other question. I mean, there was the idea of, creating, let's say, a protest movement against Echelon by including specific keywords in our signatures when using the Usenet or internet email stuff. So, bomb, Bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, blah, blah, blah. I guess that is just a tool to collect the data of those guys who do this. I mean, you can filter it so easily. I'm not sure that this approach would really work. So, of course, if people are trying to go around these systems, they train using these systems. So that is what intelligence services are doing. Now we have this discussion about the airline security again, if we should install this body scanners or not. That just came the report, yeah, but Al-Qaeda has already bought this body scanners and they train their personnel to use this. So, of course, that's obviously because it's a CIA operation. These guys train with this technology to keep low profile. It's very simple. I don't know, maybe we have to buy this shit and see how it works to behave in a way flying under the radar screen. Might be an approach.
Is there any public knowledge how well this pattern matching works and much different databases are connected for pattern matching.
Yeah, that's of course an interesting thing, because this is marketing material and they of course claim it's working so great and so on. But on the other hand side, the trustworthiness of people in the intelligence community, you might be able to ask that question, ask them, does it really work? They will tell you, oh, no, it's all bullshit. Will be, of course, misleading. So it's a little difficult. I guess for our look at the internet and at the public telecommunication networks, if we're talking about enforcing cryptography and enforcing methods of hiding traffic data and using anonymizers and so on, we'd better think that, okay, this stuff might be there and it might be used. And of course, they will collect a lot of this stuff in the long-term storage to play around with it. So they do have the material now through data retention to even legally play around with it and use this data to improve their technology.
I've often heard that when the FBI can't do monitoring on U.S. citizens for legal reasons, they don't even worry because they've got a reciprocal agreement with the British, and they'll do that listening for us, and then we swap the data.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently you're nodding, so there's a basis for that. Is that typically how it's done, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of this type of agreements where countries are not allowed to spy in their own countries, like in Foreign Intelligence Service has often not the license to intercept stuff in their own country, so they do cooperate with an ally who's doing exactly that in their country legally, and then they have an exchange agreement to grab the stuff anyhow. So that is a typical hack around or work around in this type of community.
How would you kind of explain that to the John Doe, that this is bad because people are selling their buying habits to the marketing firms of big companies with their club cards, etc.?
Yeah, well, the key point is this, that in a democracy, we have civil rights and we have the right to interact also with a political setup. This type of technology, declaring us all a suspect, is undemocratic from its beginning. And it starts to treat us as suspects, so people who are treated as suspect will, with some time, behave like a suspect. So they will no more use their rights to interact in specific ways because they're afraid this might be used against it. By the way, this was the argumentation of the German highest courts in 1984. For informational self-determination, so Datenschutz, as we call it now, data protection. And it's obvious this is happening. The point is that this technology is, of course, first of all, marketed to those countries who are easy buyers. That's all the Middle East, Arabian world situations. But it's getting into our so-called democratic states just through competition between countries, more or less.
Yes, but I've made up my mind about this stuff various times, and people are just kind of saying to me, well, I have nothing to hide. That's the main argument of the people.
Yeah, but you have something to protect. I mean, this is about economic warfare. This is about stealing. This is about knowing who's doing what. This is about economic espionage. This is about transporting stuff from A to B without knowledge of C. This is about control of everything, and it includes the economic sphere, absolutely. So the intelligence being used here for all kinds of games. And yeah, so my clear answer would be, well, you might have nothing to hide, but you have something to protect. If it's just your life, your private situation, your business, your way of making money, your way of keeping your money. So this is everything. When they know everything about you, it can be abused. It will be abused, obviously.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, I don't know if there's any more, otherwise we could, no.
One idea perhaps, it's possible to show to the politicians. If one of these records, a voice record of a high-ranked politician is leaked, to WikiLeaks or something like this, that you can listen to his phone calls in the last campaign for elections or something like this. And this might be something, if you have somebody who is inside the system and is not happy with this, and this is not only stuff about secret agents or something like this. This also affects the telecommunications companies, because the telecommunication companies, for example, at any border have to provide, in Germany it's called the G10 room. This is a room where the, your privacy ends, where the Grundgesetz Article 10 is not applicable, and these rooms are not allowed to be entered by the personnel of the telecom company. So I think in these companies it should be possible to find people who are absolutely unhappy with the situation, and I hope somebody is doing a leak on that maybe in the next year or maybe whatever. So this is the only thing I see at the moment to demonstrate it.
I welcome your idea, but in a way what you need to see is that simple pieces of evidence that this is this can be done or this is done on politicians, that is what we have already. That is how politicians are killed these days, how they are brought out of business, happens in various countries, various times, that specific pieces of, you know, information is being used. This is this compromata. The more difficult approach is to sell the to show the systematic of this thing. So to show that this is not, you know, a single case where someone has used this information, but it's all there. So that will be a lot more work, and I'm not sure that WikiLeaks has enough storage to provide that documents we're talking about here, but hey, good idea. Let's work on that. So maybe that is a good point to end to. I was not... having the idea here to give you an answer on this, it was my intention to leave you with this question, so to cooperate on finding the right answer on this issue. But, okay, one more.
Just a note. Do you really think that the politicians have any real say into whether this is deployed or not? Because I am not so sure.
Well, the point is this, you might be right, there might be politicians who don't know it, who are not technically knowledgeable about it, but with, especially with politicians, I would have another fear. If we go and tell them, hey, this is what is available, this could be done, then they might say, oh, thanks for this information, that is a good idea. So we would have to carefully address this group of people. Thank you.